The scripture reading this morning comes from John, the 10th chapter, and I'll be reading verses 9 through 11. I am the door. If anyone enters through me, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they might have life and have it abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep.
It's difficult for us to relate to sheep and sheep herding the first century. We're probably pretty familiar with the way things are done today as far as herding livestock, even though some techniques that we might be familiar with in like movies and things like this are not quite used the same way as they've been more modernized. Most of the livestock that is raised today is used to provide food. But even modern sheep herding has changed dramatically over the centuries. Today they use modern transportation and dogs to kind of keep sheep rounded up and out of trouble. Many are kept in fenced-in pastures. That way they don't go too far off the beaten path. The first century shepherd, they raised their sheep primarily for the wool. And yes, they did eat sheep, but they were not raised for that specific purpose. The shepherds protected their flocks. The shepherds led their flocks. And the mentality and purpose between like cowboys and shepherds are totally different. But it doesn't mean that we cannot imagine or comprehend sheep and shepherding. Even if we don't have a firsthand experience of this ancient lifestyle. For just a little bit of time this morning, I'd like for us to be able to take hold of the shepherd's rod and staff. Find out what Jesus means when he says, I am the door, I am the gate, I am the good shepherd. Now, the Bible is filled with sheep and sheep herding. In Genesis 4 and verse 2, it tells us that Abel was a keeper of sheep. In Exodus chapter 2, Moses and Zipporah, his wife, were shepherds. King David was a shepherd. The birth of Christ was not announced to the Sanhedrin or to kings or to priests, but to lowly shepherds in the field. Even God himself is portrayed as a shepherd. In the third verse of the 100th Psalm, it reads, Know that the Lord, He is God. It is He who made us, and we are His. We are His people and the sheep of His pasture. In the 11th verse of Isaiah chapter 40, it reads, He will tend His flock like a shepherd. He will gather the lambs in His arms. He will carry them in His bosom. And gently lead those that are with young. And even in Mark 6 and verse 34, when Jesus saw the multitudes, he had compassion on them. Why? Because they were like sheep without a shepherd. He began to teach them. Jesus, he said, I am the door. I am the good shepherd. But he's not just one of many doors. He is the door. The only one. He is not just a good shepherd. He is the only good shepherd. Or in Acts 4 in verse 12, it reminds us that there is salvation in none other. The text that we have in John chapter 10 appears to indicate that Jesus has two shepherding scenarios in mind. And during the time of Christ, the Palestinian shepherds, they had two different pens that they would use. They would have a summer pen and they would have a winter pen. And in the beginning of John chapter 10, it appears that what we see here is the winter pen. It is an enclosure that is close to a town or a village. And most oftentimes it is a stone wall that is built out from the house. Or it might even be part of the house itself. And there is a gate at the entrance of that pen. Oftentimes these pens were communal in that two or more shepherds may put their flocks in one pen. And these sheep would spend the night in these pens. The next morning, when the individual shepherds would go to the pen, they would call to their sheep. And each of these sheep, regardless of how many different flocks are in that, the sheep that is being called will recognize their shepherd's voice. And they would follow him out of that gate, where he will lead them into the pasture and to where there is water. And there were times where these shepherds would hire someone to watch over the sheep at night. Jesus would call this individual a hireling. And a hireling would not have as much concern or take as great a care of the herd as the shepherd himself. Jesus said that they would care less for the sheep. The only way that a thief could enter the pen would be either to climb over the wall or to intimidate that hiring to allow them in. The summer pen was a bit different. The sheep during the summer would be taken out into the countryside. And this would be probably the grassy areas along the mountains where the mountains would get a little bit more moisture than the lowlands. So there would be plenty of grass. Now this pen that would be made at that point would be made with whatever was available to the shepherd at that time. It could be stones, it could be tree branches, sticks, whatever was be able to use. And it wasn't to keep the sheep together more than it was to keep wild animals outside. But there wouldn't be a gate on this pen. For the gate, the shepherd would lay down across the opening and watch and be there for his sheep. We need to consider the nature of sheep. And the nature of sheep, as far as even humans go, is not that much different. Sheep are dependent. Sheep are vulnerable. We are dependent. We're oftentimes dependent on one another. Our children are very vulnerable. They're dependent on us. And we're dependent on God. Sheep really can't take care of themselves too well. Our young children cannot take care of themselves very well. They might get along for a little bit, but not in the long term. Us, like sheep, need guidance. We need food and water. We need protection from enemies, from parasites, wild animals. And rest. If you will, let's look in John 10, starting in verse 1 and going through verse 15. The Bible reads, "Truly, truly, I say to you, he who does not enter the sheep pen by the gate, but climbs in by some other way, is a thief and a robber. The man who enters by the gate is the shepherd of his sheep. The watchman opens the gate for him, and the sheep listen to his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. And when he has brought out all his own, he goes ahead of them. The sheep follow him because they know his voice. They will never follow a stranger. In fact, they will run away from him because they do not recognize the stranger's voice." And therefore, again, Jesus says, "Truly, truly, I say to you, I am the gate for the sheep. All who come before me were thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. He will come in and he will go out and he'll find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for his sheep. The hired hand is not the shepherd who owns the sheep. Then the wolf attacks the flock and he scatters it. The man runs away because he is a hired hand and he cares nothing for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep. My sheep know me, just as the Father knows me and I know the Father." Now let's go down to verse 26. Jesus says, "You do not believe because you are not my sheep. My sheep listen to my voice. I know them. They follow me. And I will give them eternal life, and they shall never perish, and no one can snatch them out of my hand. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all. No one can snatch them out of my Father's hand. I and the Father are one." Of course, verse 26, he's going back to the church leaders and telling them that. We cannot be snatched out of his hand. We can leave. No one can take us against our will. What does Jesus, the good shepherd, do on our behalf? As our good shepherd, he provides us with a spiritual guidance. Jeremiah 10 and verse 23 reminds us that it is not within man to direct his own steps. In Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6, it admonishes us by saying, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. All your ways acknowledge him, and he will make your path straight." The 23rd Psalm speaks of his leading us into paths of righteousness. It speaks of the shepherd's staff, which is the curved stick that we're all familiar with, to guide his sheep. And he's using that staff to nudge us into that path of righteousness. The Spirit of truth will guide us into all truth, John 16, verse 13. Jesus said that the sheep knows him, that the sheep recognizes his voice. And it should be our desire today that we are hearing, that we are obeying his voice. Because the more that we hear and obey, the more we will enjoy this life that we've been given. A life that Jesus made possible. Jesus provides us with our spiritual nourishment. You know, the 23rd Psalm is very popular. I'm sure most of us know it by heart. But look at the green, lush green pastures, if you can, in your mind, that is in that psalm. Those quiet, still waters. Peace. Nourishment. David tells us that the shepherd prepares a table for us. And the Hebrew word that is translated into table implies having food and drink. Ephesians 5, verse 29, Paul reminds us that Jesus cherishes, that Jesus nourishes us as his church. 1 Corinthians 10 and verse 4, it tells us that God supplies manna and quail to Israel. He says here that their water was from a rock that followed them. That rock was Christ. Now, sheep are pretty much defenseless, and it is the good shepherd who will protect his flock. Against all odds, he'll go out ahead and protect that flock. For every one of us here this morning, Jesus knows our vulnerabilities. He knows our every weakness. He knows every issue we face. Every single one. David speaks of shepherd's tools, the rod and the staff. A rod would be a very large stick that the shepherd would use to defend the flock against the wild animals. Oftentimes, if he doesn't have the rod, he will use his staff. The staff he would use to kind of guide the sheep. He would also use that staff to rub down the black of the sheep to separate the wool, where he would be able to see any parasites that might be there, or maybe some briars or thistles, anything that would be detrimental to the sheep. Listen to the 121st Psalm. The first 8 verses. And David is writing this. This is a very difficult time when he wrote this in his life. But David says, I lift up my eyes to the hills for help. My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. He will not let your foot slip. He watches over you. He will not slumber. Indeed, he watches over Israel. He watches over Israel will neither sleep nor slumber. He watches over you. The Lord is your shade at your right hand. The sun will not harm you by day, the moon by night. The Lord will keep you from harm. He will watch over your life. He will watch over your coming and your going, both now and forevermore. Spiritually, we're hearing Jesus say, in me you are secure. I give eternal life. And they will never perish. No one can snatch us out of his hand. Our security is derived from biblical doctrine. This scripture says that we are safe in the arms of Jesus. How many times have we sung that song, Safe in the Arms of Jesus, but we will never preach it? We just sing it. Just as sheep, we need rest. As the sheep of his pasture, the psalmist tells us that he makes us to lie down in green pastures. It is the idea of rest. God rested on the seventh day, his creation, the day that he made holy, that we know as the Sabbath. He gave the Sabbath to Israel as a blessing. It was a day of rest. An author by the name of Philip Keller, He spent an awful lot of time with sheep and with shepherds. And he says there are four conditions that must be met before sheep will lay down to rest. First, they must be free of fear. They must be free of friction with other sheep in the flock. They must be free of pests and parasites. And they must be free from hunger. Those four conditions are met. The sheep will lay down and rest. Like that 23rd Psalm, the Hebrew writer tells us that in a like manner, we too will enter rest in the Lord's house. When we are aware of God's presence, there is a tremendous sense of rest and comfort and peace. Fear and anxiety about our future are lessened by His presence and promises. Our guilt is removed by His forgiveness, and our security is enhanced by His promise. I am the door, and if anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. And I will give them eternal life, and no one can snatch them out of my hand. In Him we find our hope, our security, strength, comfort, joy, peace, confidence, love, and rest. The Lord is my shepherd. That is to say, He is my choice. That choice is ours. Make Him your shepherd. Have we made the Lord our shepherd by faith in Him? Through repentance and confession that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, by having a new birth in water baptism for the washing away of sins, we can enter that gate. Pray that's your desire today, to enter to the gate where the baptism will wash away the sins. In essence, it is giving you a completely new life. And then the life that we live after that is a life in which we determine ourselves to stay with the fold and not stray, to live faithfully. Maybe we have been a sheep in that fold. Maybe we were out in the pasture and we started walking away. The shepherd's still looking. The shepherd will not give up until you are found. He will continue to look. And if you have strayed away and you need to come back, we want to give you that opportunity also this morning. If there's any that has a need for the invitation, we ask that you'll come as together we stand and we sing.